Well, take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Amen. When we trusted Christ Jesus as our Savior, we trusted Him by faith through grace. We heard the gospel, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We heard the testimony of those who had trusted Christ before us, how He had taken their life and changed it to where they once had no thought of God, no relationship with God, no interest in the true things of God. Maybe you had interest in mystical things, in strange things, but not in the things of the true God. The idea of reading the scripture to understanding was something that you either didn't think of or thought was the most ridiculous thing. And someone told you how they had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and how God did it. And they gave you verses like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." They gave you verses like Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," of Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 10:13, "For whosoever believeth shall be saved." These are things that somebody was willing to speak to you about. It might have been your mom and dad. My wife, when she came to know the Lord, had heard the gospel from her mom and dad. Very likely, she had heard the gospel from her older brothers. They didn't just make her eat worms, no doubt. They probably told her the gospel. And one day, her dad, probably after dozens of times of telling her about Jesus, on the way to throw the trash out of the dump, gave the gospel one more time and led her right to the Lord, and she got saved. Men in my life, Chris Duncan and many others there in North Carolina, where I went to school to be a businessman and to make lots of money. They gave me these things, the testimony of their life and the very truth of the Word of God. And in October of 1999, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. In the dorm room, in my sophomore year, on that hard stone floor, I asked Jesus to save me. And He did. Not because of who I am or what I've done, but because of what He did for me. But that faith came because of the faith of others who by their faith poured into me truths that I ultimately could no longer deny. The scripture tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is not something that we come to simply because we're human. Faith is something that we have to learn in order to come to believe the truth. We believe something, by the way. Everybody believes something. As much as the atheist likes to proclaim how they don't believe something, they just know science, they do. Their science is a religion in and of itself. And their science, unprovable as it is, it finds itself to be illogical at the very best. And unfortunately, leading many people around the world today to hell, because they won't believe the truth. No. When we came to trust Christ as our Savior, It is because God's word in some form was given to us and we said, you know what? I believe that. And I'm going to trust the Christ of the Bible. I'm no longer going to depend upon my works. I'm no longer going to depend upon that I just get buried and that's all there is. It's funny to me how people can hope in that. That I'll get buried and that's all there is. That's their hope. Unfortunately, there is no hope in that at all. Because there's no person who is going to die in this world and be buried and that's all there is. Because that person is either going to go to heaven because Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin and they believed it, or they're going to go to hell because they either did not know or they refused it. When we come to Christ, the beginnings of faith are there. But God wants us to continue in faith, doesn't He?
Yes.
If you're here today and you're a Christian, you began something the day you got saved. It wasn't an ending, but a beginning.
No.
And so the question then becomes, how do I add to my Christian walk? In the days that Colossians was written, Paul was writing to a people who were adding the wrong things. They were not living by faith, but they were living according to works once again. They were deceived into thinking that their relationship with God required them to go through the physical act of circumcision. That if they were not circumcised, that they would not be able to increase in their understanding of God. And Paul in Colossians chapter 2 wants to make it very clear, and I want to make it very clear too, that it is in Jesus Christ alone that we are made complete. And in nothing that we can or will do. Nothing. There are good works that He has foreordained for us to do, but that does not complete us in Christ. Christ Himself makes us complete in Him alone. We cannot add anything to it. And so what Paul wants to declare here is the same way in which we got saved and came to believe is the same way we ought to walk now that we're saved. How did we get saved? We got saved by faith. How did that happen? Someone told us the truth of the Scripture. And we believed. How are we to walk? By faith. How are we going to live by faith? We're going to learn the Word of God and believe it and act accordingly. This is the way of Christ for the believer. The same way we got saved is the same way in which we walk today. Today, there are things that people teach that needed to be added in order for our relationship with Christ to be complete, whether it's baptism. Later on, we're going to give dedication of children. This does not complete us in Christ. Some people say that it's certain good works or church membership or some ritual that needs to be gone through. None of these things can bring completion in Christ. Only Jesus Christ can. When we begin to believe that some centuries worth of different rituals or traditions of the church are what is needed to complete us, this removes a vital truth for the believer, and that is that we are complete in Christ. We are complete in Christ, not we will be complete in Christ. We cannot add anything to our salvation. And in fact, listen, there is no addition that we can add to be complete. He is all that we need, and listen, anything more would actually be less. You think about that. Anything more would actually be less. How can that be? If we are complete in Christ, then anything more than Him is less. And there's no way to get around that. And so if we are trying to live out our Christian walk by adding certain physical, fleshly elements and saying this is what's going to complete what I need to know God, then you do not understand the fullness of Christ. And so today I want to declare to you the fullness of Christ. There is nothing we need more than Him and what He has given us in His precious Word and the Holy Spirit that lives within us. He has completed us. When a Christian does not live by faith, he is living by the flesh. And every day, there is this competition between our flesh and the Spirit, which wants us to live by faith. By the way, it's interesting to note that the Spirit of God never lives by faith. Right? Isn't that true? What does the Spirit of God not know? He knows everything. But we don't know everything. We have to live by faith and not by sight. We have to live by what we know to be true according to what God says in the Word of God, in the Bible, rather than according to what we can see. Brethren, I want you to know that God intends for you to have a daily walk with Him, to where every day you can live by faith and not by the flesh. So often, we as Christians are living according to the flesh and not according to faith. And so before we move into Colossians, keep your finger here. I want to give you a couple of reminders of what faith is in the Scripture. Hebrews 11 is one of the most particular and powerful passages when it comes to faith. I just want to read Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, and then verse 6, the Scripture says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." And then verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And so we might be saying to ourselves, "Well, Pastor, you said we need nothing, but don't we need more faith? Don't we need to add faith?" It's interesting that the Scripture tells us in 2 Peter that we add to our faith virtue, but there's nothing to add to faith. God has given us everything we need to do to take the next step by faith. There is nothing more that is needed to complete those things. All we need to do is to be with God every day, to cleave unto the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the vine connected, to be the branch connected to the vine. And then we can go about living our life doing as He pleases and enjoying what He already knows. And so in verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." And so anything done by faith is going to do what? Please Him. Now it has to be faith placed in the right place. Where does that faith have to be placed? In the God of the Bible. It cannot be faith placed in the pastor, right? It cannot be, "Well, my pastor said, therefore." It has to be, "Well, God has said, therefore, I will do this or do that." And God wants this for us every day. Not every week or every month or once every few decades when I really feel the Spirit, quote unquote, move. We live in a society today where Christians are waiting for the Spirit to move. to live by faith. This is ridiculous. God wants us to live by faith today and tomorrow because we can be with Him and enjoy Him today and tomorrow and the next day and so on and so forth. There doesn't need to be a moving of the Spirit. He has already moved. He's already moved in. We can live by faith today. You guys with me? And we can because we're complete in Him. When a person lives with the idea that there is something in the future that needs to be attained to in order for them to have real life. Many adventurers, they live in the idea that if I can just go and find and get to the South Pole and get out and survive, then my life will be complete. When the first men were going into the South Pole, they were going to try to make it to the very, very bottom of the earth. They put ads in the major newspapers around the world. And they said things like this. You will be hungry. You will be thirsty. You will be in the midst of darkness for weeks at a time. There is a good chance you won't make it back. If you make it back, fame is certainly for you. And so adventurers live in this idea that if I can attain to that, then finally I'll have what life I want. But what did Jesus say? We've already quoted it. John 3:16. What does that verse tell us? If we believe in Christ, we will have eternal life. When? Not when we attain to some goal, but He gives it to us immediately. And so that because we're complete in Him, we live out our day by day, with Him, enjoying Him. Why would a person be faithful to the services and the meetings of the church? So that they might live by faith. Why would a man or a woman open the scriptures every day and prayerfully ask God to guide them in the way they should go? Because they want to live by faith. Why would a person give themselves to praying every day? Not turt or quick token prayers to God, but with groanings pray to God every day. Because they want to live by faith and not by sight. Romans 14. This is pointed, but I didn't say it. And so if you're offended, take it up to the Lord. But this is pointed in Romans 14. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Boy, that really puts to bed the people who say, I never sin anymore. If sin is anything that we don't do by faith in what God says, then what is it according to the scripture? Sin. Sin. God wants us to live by faith. I praise the Lord for His mercies because how often I do not live by faith. How often I live by sight. He's good to us. I am looking forward to the day where I no longer live by faith. But I'm able to live by sight because I'll be in heaven and I'll see what God has promised. But now He wants us to live by faith, trusting Him. Believing Him and saying, you know what? I'm going to do what God wants me to do in my home, with my family, in my workplace, in my personal life. I'm going to live by faith, believing Him because I know there's no greater way. I'm not going to let my flesh get in the way. And so turn back over to there to Colossians chapter 2. We went through verse 1, 2, and 3, but I want to just quickly read through it so that we can point to verse 3. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let's continue in verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now listen to this. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Underline that phrase. Ye are complete in Him. Ye are complete in Him. Brethren, that is true. Do you believe it? It is by this very thing that I am complete in Christ that I can walk by faith and not by sight. And so let's notice there. In verse 3 again, in Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now why does he say this? Well, verse 4, in this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Why does Paul use that word enticing? Because there's many things that we can see with our eyes, hear with our ears, touch with our fingers, taste with our mouths, that can lead us not to living by faith, but living according to what we can hear, see, taste, touch, smell. Right? He wants us to be able to take the things that we can sense with our senses, and if we're going to do them, to live to the glory of God and by faith in Him. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. For the most part, when it's time to eat, you have some blessing. Whether you're alone or with your family, it's not just something you do at Thanksgiving and Christmas, but in general, that's what you do. You, again, don't raise your hand. That's good. I think we should. But why do we do that? You know, the food I eat is physical food, isn't it? There's spiritual food, but then there's physical food. And by the way, God made us to have to eat physical food. Isn't that right? Man does not live by bread alone. But most assuredly, if we don't eat, what will happen? We will eventually die. We'll eventually die. Many people at the end of their life stop eating, and that's really why they die. We will die without food. Can we eat by faith? Let me ask you this. Why do you even have food before you? You know what the scripture tells us? Listen. The very seeds that sprout out of the ground, the scientists don't know how that happens. But you know what the scripture says and why it happens? God does it. If you have something made of wheat or corn or any other vegetable, God is the one who caused the seed to sprout out of the ground. If you eat meat, I eat meat. God caused that thing to grow, to be formed in the womb of the other cow. God provided for you those things. You know how wrong it is for us? Either to not give God thanks or to flippantly say, God, thank you for my food. Amen. Let's chow down now. It really is wrong because it's not by faith. Now listen, I'm not standing up here saying that I have not done that. But does God want us to eat by faith? What must we recognize? The truth that God provided it for you. The truth that God provided it for you. Water is an abundant thing in our world. Over 60% of the world is water. Over 80% of your body is water. So much of what is needed for life is because of water. The chemical reaction for us to have water is mysterious. We know it's there, and we know it's H2O, but how these bonds bind together so that we have water today and in abundance so that we have life is mysterious. But we know why we have water. You know why? God gave it to us. When was the last time you thanked Him for water? Man, we can drink our water by faith, can't we? Giving thanksgiving unto our great God. But enticers are people who want us to live by the flesh rather than by thanksgiving. They're the ones who want us to deny God in our daily walk. You know, I've heard it said, and I believe it's true, that so often we are practical atheists. We live with no thought of God. We're not atheists. We believe in God, but in our practical day-to-day life, so often we can live as if God doesn't exist. We live without a communication with the God who made us, and yet He made us for the very reason to be able to communicate with us and enjoy us, and we Him. And so notice when He says that our sufficiency, our completeness is in Christ, He's saying it in contrast to the Spirit. And beguile you with enticing words. Verse 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Read it this way. Joying and beholding your order of your faith and the steadfastness of your faith. What does that word order mean? It's a picture, it's a word picture that would have brought to mind those who knew the Greek would have had this word order. It would have brought to mind the order of soldiers in war. In the Civil War in Pennsylvania, there in Gettysburg, there was a big round top and a little round top. On little round top, there was this man, Lawrence Chamberlain, who was leading the Union Army against the yelling rebels at the bottom of the hill. They had defended the hill for much of the day, but they ran out of ammunition. And the prevailing idea was to surrender, for at least they would live. But Lawrence Chamberlain said, according to the order of our lines, we are going to take, what we're going to do is we're going to take half of our line and we're going to envelop the rebels with our bayonets. And then we were going to, like a scissor comes together, we're going to come and we are going to, with the simple bayonet, with the on top from this top of this hill. Now there are trees all over the place, and they came and they enveloped the rebels. And on that day they won a great victory and kept the day because of the order. Whenever disorder comes in the ranks in war, and at least in wars like World War II and World War I and in the Civil War, what happens? You lose, right? When the line breaks, you lose. Lawrence Chamberlain is considered one of the great heroes of the Civil War. And by the way, he was a man of intense faith. And he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the order that was come, because the people whom he led said, "We believe this will work," kept them from breaking rank and running the other side of the hill. Christian, how ordered is your faith? Faith leads us to say, "God, I will follow you because you are right." Sight leads us to run to the other side of the hill. When you have no ammunition and the rebels have full ammunition because they have a line of people bringing the boxes of ammunition, you say, "We either surrender or die." They said, "But we believe, Lawrence Chamberlain, that you'll lead us right. And we'll do what you say. We don't know about this plan, but you're confident we're going to do it." It worked. I want you to know, our God is smarter than Lawrence Chamberlain. He's more wise. You can read the biography of Lawrence Chamberlain. And he does not say that he was confident in the plan. He figured that day was going to be his last. Our God knows the last day. And on that last day, he wins. He does not lose. But he wants us to live by that type of faith. Verse 6 says, "You therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." He wants us to walk just the same way that we first got saved. One day I said, "Lord, I believe all these things. You died on the cross for my sin. I trust you with my life." He wants me to live that same way today, doesn't he? "Lord, you know all things. You are able to do all things. And if there is something that you are leading me to do, it can be done. And you'll make sure that it works out in the end for your glory." Listen, brother. This comes in every area of our life. What we do with our money. What we do in our homes. With our children. Many Christians declare their faith publicly, but their children know. Their children know because they live with them. Their faith is weak at best. But we can trust Christ, can't we? We can trust Christ in our workplaces. You know, Will brings his Bible to school and puts it on his desk. I think Sue does too. But I know Will talks about it more. At least with me. I'm a guy. So we get to talk. Will doesn't work in a church. Will works in school. Schools can be pretty hostile with the Bible. But he did that one day. He decided one day that he was going to bring his Bible and put it on his desk at school. Let me ask you, did that take faith? Did he have to do it? He didn't have to do it, but he did do it by faith. And God's used that through the years. He's used it. And God will use your faith too. And God help us to live by faith because we are complete in Him. Amen? Amen. We are complete in Him. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And maybe you have not lived by faith in a long time. I will tell you this, and I don't say it flippantly, but soberly. The Christian forsakes faithfulness to the things of God, faithfulness to the things of God, learning the Scriptures, prayer, faithfulness to the services of the church. They will see their faith works wane. Maybe it's been a long time since you've really opened that Bible by faith, believing that God was going to show you something that you needed. God loves you. And today, He wants to bring you back to that place of faith. Maybe it's been a long time since you've lived by faith in your home. You say, but my home's hard to live by faith, and I've done it a few times, and it's been a fight with my husband, or it's been difficult with the kids, and they don't listen, and it just makes me mad, and I've been there. So you said, you know what, I don't believe it. I'm not going to do this type of stuff in my home anymore. I'm just going to let my home be a place where we just kind of chill after work and eat, and that's it. God wants to bring you back to the place of faith. Where you say, you know what? I'm going to do what God wants for His glory in your workplace. Right now is a time for you to spend time with God. To literally talk to Him who listens. And allow Him to talk to you who speaks. Spend a moment with Him. Ask Him for help to live by faith, to please Him. Ask Him to forgive you for those times you've acted not by faith, but by sight. And declare if it's true. Your love for Him. By the way, if you tell God you love Him, it's by faith. Because you can't see Him. But you can love Him. Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. For by it, we may walk by faith and not by sight. May we believe You and Your promises and live by these promises. Father, please, may we be a people of faith. Faith in Your goodness, Your provision. If we're afraid to do what You would have us to do, may we take the advice of Brother Crichton and do what we think we don't have enough faith to do. As if we do have enough faith to do it. Help us, Father, please. We need You in our day that we might not be beguiled by enticements. And Father, I pray for those who have found their faith has almost come to nil. May they remember what it is to live by faith. Remember how good You are. And may today be the day that they begin anew that faith walk with You. Please. I beg You that they wouldn't wait for the stirring of the Spirit. As so many charismatics speak of. So often it's no more than an emotional
tizzy. I pray rather that they would live by faith today, not waiting for what will not come. Please help us in these things. Bless us this day. And we pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.